You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Kind of confusing. That's all right. Getting my carpets cleaned on Thursday, tomorrow. That's all right. Fired up about it. Fired up about it. That's right. Small things in life. General Mattis, all over the media, man. You check that out? We'll listen to some of it this morning. And talk about why I think that's important. I got an email yesterday. After we went off the show, I got invited to be a guest speaker at a birthday ball. That's always exciting, huh? Yeah, at Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. Hooey! Ask Colleen if she want to go. She's like, hello? Yes? I don't know if you've ever heard the story of the first birthday ball that Colleen went to. Oh, my God. I don't want to say it was you can imagine for, 11-year-old. I think she was 11 at the time. So we go and we get her a dress for the ball. She and my older daughter, Catherine, they both attend with their father. And it's at the Disneyland Hotel here in Anaheim, and so we go over there, and we're hanging out, and, you know, we get dressed, we go to the ball, and Colleen says, can I go to the bathroom? And I said, sure. So she comes back, and she goes, oh, my God, Dad, you won't believe what went on in the bathroom. I said, what? She said, well, there's all these girls in the bathroom, and then these two guy Marines walk into the bathroom and they tell everybody to get out because that they're in the wrong bathroom. And then I said, then what happened? She said, well, all the girls started yelling at them and telling them to get out and then throwing stuff at them. I said, well, they probably just made a mistake. And she's like, oh my God, Dad. So, she then, like, I don't know, 20 minutes later, can I go to the bathroom again? Of course. So she comes back. And she, She says, she says, oh my God. I said, now what? She said, there was a girl puking in the garbage can. I said, well, maybe she was sick. And she looks at me, she says, I think she was drunk. I said, really? She said, yes. She said, but the other girls were helping her. And I've never been, like, in a girl's bathroom with girls in it, right? So I was like, all right, well, if that's what girls do in there, that's good. So she goes back another time about, what, 20 minutes later, comes back. I said, now what? She said, and she said, Dad, they were carrying a Marine, like, down the hallway. I said, like, what do you mean? She said, well, by his feet and by his arms. I said, well, maybe he slipped and fell. She said, I don't think so. I think he was drunk. I'm like, Colleen, why do you think everybody's drunk? She says, I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of drinking going on. I said, well, that's probably too. So the night goes on. We're having fun, right? So we're dancing, my two daughters and I. And I had my mess dress uniform on, and I twirled Colleen underneath my arm. Her necklace that had a little Marine Corps pendant on it. And it kind of, somehow it caught one of the buttons on the sleeve of my mess dress, and it exploded, right? So now we're down on our hands and knees. Now, we'd been out dancing, and there was one, and, I mean, if you can imagine, right, for those of you who haven't been, the Marine Corps Ball is this very festive event, and it's very formal, kind of, right? And so you have Marines look great in their dress blue uniforms, and you have their dates, right? Now, their female dates, like, these are the prom dresses that your mom wouldn't let you buy. Not all of them, but a fair number of them. And so, yeah, so they're buying prom dresses unsupervised. Which leads to very interesting fashion choices. So anyway, and then like the dancing starts, and unlike going to Vegas, which I don't know that I'm a big fan of, because a lot of times when you go to Vegas, you know, people leave right away as soon as, you know, kind of the part where you hang out and they're dancing and all that, a lot of people go to the casino. So, yeah, don't ask me, I have no idea what's going on in my house. So, the security devices are activated, though. And maybe the possum. Let me tell you, my dogs lose their minds. There's a possum in the backyard. Oh, my God. Those two idiots, like, you won't see them for a couple hours, and I'm like, where are the dogs? I go looking, and they're in the backyard in, like, a high state of agitation, sprinting around, being stupid. So, anyway. So we're dancing, right? The pendant explodes. Now, while we've been dancing, there's been one girl in her prom dress, in her gone wrong prom dress. She's been hiking her dress up so she can twerk. Okay, now if you don't know what twerking is, you should look it up on the internet, right? Something that everybody should know about. Anyway, so Colleen's watching all of this, like, with the big eyes of an 11-year-old. And so she's heard about parties like this, but this is the first one I think she'd ever been to in her life. So she'd been watching this. So now we're down, you know, on our hands and knees, kind of squatted down, looking for the pieces of the pendant, the necklace and the pendant itself. And now this girl's like, I don't know, 10, 15 away, like, and she hikes her dress up and she, like, drops down and she starts doing her thing again, right? And I look at Colleen, and I said, is this crazy or what? And my 11-year-old daughter looks at me and says, this is awesome. And I remember thinking, shit. Oh, but we had a great time, and we have one of my favorite pictures with my daughters that was taken that night. So it was cool, and we had fun. But yeah, Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. So our major came up yesterday and officially delivered the invitation to me, and we hung out for a couple hours talking about post-traumatic winning. So that was cool. And then, you know, I got an email yesterday, and that asked me, you know, Mac, it's kind of interesting every time you come back, the things you say, what you learn when you're there. And the email said, what did you learn this time? And that is kind of interesting. I just had to yell at my dog to shut his yap. So anyway, so what did I learn? Well, I think I learned two pieces of, and this goes to, you could have really good programs based, designed by mental health professionals. Well, why don't they resonate? Why don't they take? Why don't they listen? Why doesn't it penetrate, you know, their exterior? Why? You know, these are PhD people, you know. Why has, for instance, the Air Force, right? Smart people with smart behavioral health people. Why are they on a glide path to double their suicides? I mean, that's unheard of. They're listening to all these smart PhD type people. And I will tell you, first of all, I'll give you a couple data points. One, the DOD destructive behavior problem, right? In the DOD, in the military, you don't have a lot of people with substantial mental health issues, right? I mean, hardcore structural mental health issues. Now, some can come into the military and develop them, certainly. And so 99.9 of the people that are struggling in the military, I mean, you can help them, right? You can fix that stuff. But here's what I've learned, right? One, it's important for the message to have credibility, right? I think to come from the culture. And the lessons, this is not going to be good, all right? Hold on one second, all right? We got to take I don't know who's doing what in somebody's backyard, but let me go close something. More of Allmarine Radio after I shut a sliding door. Coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, we're back. They're doing some power line cleanup out back. So, yeah, they're cutting down eucalyptus trees that are, they've grown tall. I don't like eucalyptus trees, just for the record. They are aplenty, but they're dirty trees. They shed and there's stuff everywhere. And so, I'm just for the record, in case you were wondering, like, I wonder if Mac's a fan of eucalyptus trees. Mac is not. They grow tall and then they cause issues and blah, blah, blah. So not a fan. Anyway, so let me go back to the more I learn about how, you know, so it's not good enough just to have a good message, right? So we have this and, you know, we're going to tell, it's, the messenger's important. Okay. So whoever brings your message, if they can't bring the message, then guess what happens to your message? It doesn't get delivered. It's not delivered. So, like, congratulations, you lose. It doesn't work like that. So the messenger is significant, right? And I don't want to say I'm a great messenger, but I'm a good messenger, right? I can, you know, I can do this. I can certainly convey that message. And so anyway... I believe that's important. I know that's important, right? Your truth, right? The message that you bring to them has got to be grounded in the truth that you can demonstrate for them. Real world truth, right? And you have to hit them in the face with it. because if it's nebulous, right, if it's something, you know, it's that they don't get, it's going to go absolutely, positively nowhere. I can promise you that. Absolutely, positively nowhere. And then the other thing I think I've learned that becomes more and more concrete for me is that if you stand up there as leader and you spout the same, you know, this is an incredible, you know, this is really important problem and we need you to listen today, and you know, if you just say that stuff and you don't go open kimono and you don't share what you struggle with, they sit there and they just listen to it. So I would say the more I do this, and I see, you know, again, I see people that are mental health professionals, and I have conversations with them, and they're trying really hard. You know, they're trying really hard. But I think one of the problems is we didn't hang out with them in high school. If those of us went to college, we didn't hang out with them in college either. And so now they're gonna give us advice, you know, and people may or may not listen to it because maybe they're not broadcasting on our frequency. Maybe we don't want to listen to them. I don't rightly know, but I know there's a cultural element to the presentation that is significant. And I experience that all the time. Right? And again, mind you, I'm 61 and a half. The target audience for this is way younger than me. But I would tell you the reason that post-traumatic winning resonates is because it is so grounded in the truth of their culture, the culture that they have come into. It's presented in the language that they know, right? So I think it comes from their home. It's presented in their language. I mean, so it's all culturally designed to get to their frequency, right? And so I think there's good programs with, you know, that are based in, you know, in real stuff, but they don't broadcast on the right frequency. So it's like, how are we spending more money? And I'll take the Air Force in particular. How are they spending billions of dollars more and their suicide rate is going through the roof? How can that happen? You know, and so my opinion is that, you know, broadcasting on the wrong frequency, listening to all the, you know, smartest people. You know, but I think maybe sometimes you need to listen to the users. And I don't know that the DOD is good at that, right? I mean, I think their approach is, and not universally, but I think much of the approach is top down. And again, but the other key thing is, you know, and I sit there and watch it now. So this thing will start, and I'll be sitting over on the side, you know, maybe on the corner of the stage or whatnot. And the way it'll go is that, you know, for instance, last week, General Furness would introduce it. And then we even tweaked that he would stand up and welcome everybody. And then he would turn it over to a Lance Corporal and then a Sergeant. And then he would speak. And so by the time it got to me, they'd heard three different people talk about the stuff that they were each dealing with in their life, and each of them was very different, and that the impact that this class had on how they approached that and how they got to a better place. And so to me, if you don't have, like, if you don't speak their language, and if you're not willing to, and the term in the Marine Corps is open kimono, which is to be naked, right? If you're not willing to tell all, you know, and show them, then to me, they just tune that stuff out. And that's what I've learned. I've learned as I've, you know, as I watch the presentation and you know, and I'm comfortable with its content, and I tweak it up all the time, but the more I watch the generic presentation and the reaction to it, I see those things more clearly now. I see those things more clearly now. So anyway, somebody wrote me an email and asked me, what did I learn? And so I've learned about, you know, the essence of communication is broadcasting on somebody else's frequency. If you want to broadcast to yourself, you know, then good luck with that. Good luck with that. Right? If you want the person who's doing the broadcast to be just another person, then guess what happens to your powerful message? Your powerful message to just another person ain't a powerful message. So you wonder, well, how does this happen? How does this happen? And so, anyway, I let me tell you this. I believe now more than ever that I have a solution to it. Yeah. Yeah, how's that for, you know, arrogance? But it's not. It's born of watching. It's born of watching. And so I've got to find people that can help me do a couple things. One is get my hands on more financial resources so that, you know, I can maybe, if I could partner with a corporation, they would put their name on it. I could go do it for free. Hey, this is not going to cost you anything. Just schedule it. And so that's one idea. And the other would be to partner with some kind of foundation that can put me in touch with people that would provide the resources to go ahead and do it. So I've got to find a bigger, a way to get to make this bigger, because the story is too powerful, right? The story is a United States Marine Corps infantry division of 18,000 Marines and sailors, over 60% of them under the age of 26, right? So that is the, you know, at-risk population. Their suicide rate goes from 1.2 a month to 0.117 a month. Now, and the only thing that happened different was post-traumatic winning, and then what happened on the backside of that. So, that's what I'm learning. So, anyway, I'll tell you what we're going to do today. As I said at the top of the show, Secretary Mattis, General Mattis, Jim Mattis, that guy, he's promoting his book and some pretty interesting interviews out there. So, we're going to listen to a couple. I'll go over the news headlines pretty quick this morning, and then you'll hear an interview that he did with Martha McCallum yesterday that I thought was pretty interesting. And then you'll hear an interview he does with the Council on Foreign Relations. They do a series they call Distinguished Voices, and he was one of them yesterday. So he's out promoting his book, but pretty interesting. Pretty interesting things he has to say. And you know what? One of the things I enjoy about General Mattis, and again, by no means is he a perfect human being, but I think he's I talk about one of the things that's sorely lacking in our country is this concept of articulate dissent. And I think he's a great example of restrained articulate dissent. He doesn't go after the president. He says it's inappropriate for him to comment from the cheap seats now that he's not involved. He caveats when he does give an opinion by saying, I don't know what's going on the inside. I don't know what back channel agreements have been made or anything else. But I will say generally, and then he gives an opinion. I think he's just a great example of an intelligent servant of the nation that knows he has a responsibility based on his vast experiences to in an articulate way, right, call to the attention of the American people, to our elected officials, things that he's concerned about. And I think he does. I think he does a great job when he's doing that. Because again, I mean, and I knew this when he came on to talk about discipline. You know, and I'd sent him an email and said, "Hey, sir, your time as Secretary of Defense doesn't interest me, you know, for this." And he said, "I appreciate that." And I said, "So this thing will be restrained to, you know, to the topic of discipline and leadership." He was like, "Mac, that's awesome. I appreciate that." Because let me tell you this, he does not put himself in positions with people to interview him that he doesn't know and he doesn't trust. Right? Because he is not going to suffer some kind of fool in public in a realm that he doesn't control. So, very interesting. Very interesting. So anyway, good morning to you on a Wednesday. And then tomorrow what I want to do is I'm going to send this stuff to Messrs. Lynch and Kenny. And we're going to get their thoughts on it. So I'm interested to hear what they have to say about it. We had a very interesting conversation yesterday about something that I can't really divulge. So anyhow. Good Wednesday morning to you. Short week. Yeah, he was talking about one of the things, interesting things he talks about with Martha McCallum, and that's the first thing I'll play for you. It's about 14, 15 minutes. But one of the interesting things, he gets asked about Joe Biden, right? He gets asked about Joe Biden coming to Iraq to see him about withdrawing from Iraq, about withdrawing from Iraq. And so you'll hear General Mattis's, Jim Mattis now. You'll hear him talk about his thoughts on Biden, you know, and the fact that the decision had already been made. And so Biden's errand was to prep Mattis, hopefully get him on board with it. And so again, I'm not, as I think through these issues, right, we never officially declared war on Iraq, although we went to war with Iraq, a sovereign nation that we went to war with. Now there was the authorization of the use AUMF, right, of military force, post 9/11, blah blah blah, that was used to go to war with Iraq. Now, and I'd have to go back and look at the vote that I believe was taken relative to a resolution on Iraq. And I just think all these fool's errands that we've embarked on are all executive, right? They're all executive driven. And my problem with them, as I look at it in the long line of history, is that they tend to be reactions to things that are happening, and they tend to be more politically driven. and then we go, and then we can't achieve the nebulous end state that was defined in the first place. And as a result, you know, bad things happen. So I don't know if, in my opinion, you know, that whole, you know, the way the President of the United States takes us into a military conflict without the approval of Congress, it then allows the next chief executive to run on a platform of, I'll get us out of there. And then we wind up doing stupid things. So I don't know, right, that the way that, you know, the War Powers Act and all that stuff comes together helps the country. I don't know that there shouldn't be a prohibition, right, on the commitment of American forces anywhere without the consent of Congress. And so what is the consent of Congress? What does that mean? Because we do too many stupid things. And then I made the case that in the future, it's not like our politicians are going to be more experienced, more enlightened. If anything, they'll be vastly less experienced and less enlightened. You know, Barack Obama was a novice senator. Right? Donald Trump is a novice businessman. And they're going to take the United States of America either into or out of wars, and they're going to get it, and they're going to make solid decisions. That's why I think the scrutiny, right, and the beating up of the American Congress is significant. But, you know, we're watching this thing in Afghanistan play out. What are we doing to the Afghan people who we said that we would be there for? Are we going to unleash another civil war in their country in which more people are going to be killed than have already been killed there? That's our parting gift to them? Oh, on the way out, here you go. So, I don't know. So, again, good morning to you. A lot of stuff going on in my head. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this official. Dedicated to everybody on the East Coast as Hurricane Dorian tracks up the coast. Good luck to you. Get your plywood out. Get it in place. And if you can, get to someplace good. If you can't, make sure you have batteries and water and your NOAA weather radio handy.
Our flag comes through to every region. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that little paying out for 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, we'll check the weather. Currently in Quantico, sunny and 85. Down the coast with 4 weather alerts. Now up to 5. There's a hurricane warning, right? Remember, the R means it's real. So a watch means you're looking for it. Warning means it's here. Storm surge warning in effect right now. Tropical weather statement, flash flood watch, and a local pollen alert. All those in effect for Marine Corps Base, K-9, Camp Lejeune, North Carolina, located in Jacksonville and the surrounding areas. Currently, partly sunny and 83 degrees there, along with the hurricane warning, the storm surge warning, blah, 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 blah. 90 degrees right now. And sunny at 29 Palms. Are you kidding me? This looks like the same weather from... and let me tell you why I know. I'm praying that it's not 90 and 29 Palms. Because it was 90 here yesterday. Shit. It is 90 and 29 Palms already. 78 at Camp Pendleton already. Shit. Camp Smith in Hawaii... partly cloudy, dark, and 80. Okinawa's cooled off a little bit. They have three weather warnings in effect, so we have to look at that. It is dark, cloudy, and 81. Okinawa weather warnings, standby. The weather page loads about a million things. Thunderstorm advisory, a gale wind advisory, and a high wave advisory. So, not uncommon on Okinawa. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is dark, clear, and 99 degrees. And in the Helmand province of Afghanistan, where their fate is being decided by people that won't... So, the way this works is the Afghan government going to deal with the United States... And then, when they reach an agreement, I'm sorry, the Taliban could deal with the United States. And then when they reach an agreement with the United States, then they'll talk to Jarrah, the government of Afghanistan. So we'll see how it all plays out. I don't hold much hope. I mean, so you would think, right, during the negotiations, right, you would cool off military operations. Not so. The Taliban continuing... you know, to murder civilians, right? And so it's, as I said earlier, what are we leaving to the Iraqi people? Dark, clear, and 89 there. And at the home of All Marine Radio, where I'm hoping it'll cool off today, because last night it was 90 yesterday. Like, come on, man, that's ridiculous. Nobody needs that. Currently sunny and 76. Okay, it should be partly cloudy and somewhere around 65, 66 degrees. That's not the case. For today, looking for a high of 91 degrees. On Thursday, looking for a high of 88. And on Friday, a high of 86. Now, let me tell you what pisses me off about that. My phone tells a different story. My phone says, and I don't know where my phone gets its weather data from because it's pissing me off. Today, partly cloudy, partly sunny, and 84. Tomorrow, partly sunny and 82. And on Friday, partly sunny and 81. Saturday, partly sunny and 77. So you can see a cooling trend, which makes me happy. And then it's 90 degrees. But it says like Costa Mesa on my phone. So I'm not. As you can see, I'm not happy. I'm not okay with that. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and more of All Marine Radio coming up next here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt. Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world, leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when the group can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. And we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and so be made.
This morning. Yeah, 630 Matt is coming up here. Let me go with some news headlines. Coast Guard helps with rescues in Bahamas as Dorian moves towards the U.S. coast. Both soldiers and Marines evacuate the coast as Dorian crawls towards shore. The VA also closes some East Coast facilities. U.S. Navy ships in Virginia head out to sea to avoid Hurricane Dorian, which is standard stuff, so all standard stuff. It's a Category 2 hurricane, so the ones that pounded the East Coast in Florida were much more powerful within the last 24 months. Another headline, report urges greater intel sharing with allies about unconventional Russian attacks. Now, the unconventional Russian attacks, which are becoming, you know, just like, that's the way they do business now. It's not an they're not exceptional events. It's simply the way they are. The U.S. should share more intelligence with allies about mischief-making by Moscow during peacetime if it wants NATO to be unified in a crisis, according to a report that examines risk to the alliance during a hypothetical conflict with Russia. Differences among allies about the nature of the threat posed by Moscow and fears of Russian military retaliation might challenge NATO, said the report done by the RAND Corporation. And so let me just tell you, let me get my secret decoder ring out. What that means is we have stronger economic ties to Russia than you do. So we're not willing to tell them to kiss off. And one of the ways we will keep from telling them to kiss off is that we will say, yeah, you know, the Americans are cooking the books on the intel. That's what will happen. We will say, yeah, you know how the Americans are. They hate the Russians, and they don't do that much business. They can absorb it. And so we, much like you see play out with Iran, the Germans in Iran, the nations that have stronger business ties to Iran, you know, they slow roll it. They downplay the significance of the intel, yada, yada, yada. So this is a page out of that playbook. Next headline. USS Wasp leaves the 7th Fleet and Japan for a new home port. And so the Wasp, an amphibious helicopter carrier. So it's like a aircraft carrier, but for helicopters, right? So it's a big one, right? It's going to shift home ports from Sasebo Naval Base in Japan to the naval station in Norfolk, Virginia, according to the United States Navy. The Pacific Air Force commander stresses a more dispersed expeditionary style fleet. Quote, we have to be able to disperse. We can't all be sitting on big bases and being big targets, Pacific Air Force Commander General Charles Q. Brown said. The ability to move around is important. So that has to do with modern lethality and the ability to hit fixed installations. So if you can move around a bit, and you can deny them the ability to target you, then guess what? Probably going to survive a little bit better. All right? So that is the thought. So interesting to see that he's found that. A couple headlines in USNI news, U.S. Naval Institute news. Inaugural AUMX. That is the ASEAN Maritime Exercise. Okay, so this is interesting because it goes on, I want to say the picture was taken in Malaysia. So you're looking at the waterways that surround China that our allies have vested interest in. The U.S. has kicked off a new exercise in the Western Pacific with participation of the maritime assets of the Association of Southeast Asian Nations, ASEAN. The ASEAN Maritime Exercise, AUMX, began on Sunday at the Shatahip Naval Base in Thailand. This is the first for the U.S. to work with ASEAN as a whole, said Rear Admiral Joey Tinch, Commander Logistics Group Pacific Region, Task Force 73, which oversees 30 theater security. That's a combination of the word theater and security. Theater security cooperation for the U.S. Navy in Southwest Asia. Quote, when we kicked this off, we gave the partners a challenge that this AUMX was not going to be a symbolic event, that we needed an exercise that would provide value for each of the countries, he told reporters on September 3rd, one that would build capacity as well as relationships. While the Navy has been conducting exercise port visits and engagement in Southeast Asia for decades, Tinch added that the AUMX represented a step forward in the trend of multilateral cooperation activities. For this exercise, the ships and aircraft taking part were organized in a combined task force structure. That's exactly how navies structure themselves in real-world scenarios to work together and best leverage their forces, he said. So, so who's this aimed at? Do I need my secret decoder ring? I don't think so. Yeah, so this is in response to the Chinese, and, you know, this is not so subtle message to them. So, interesting. Headlines from Marine Corps Times, Paris Island and Beaufort Air Station ordered to be evacuated for Hurricane Dorian. So then the question is, can you get out? How much time do you have? And what's going to happen with the recruits? As of 1400 on Monday, National Hurricane Center said Dorian was a Category 4 hurricane with sustained winds of nearly 150 miles an hour. Now, that has been downgraded to Category 2. All right. Colonel Tim Miller, the Beaufort Air Station base commander, ordered the mandatory evacuation of non-essential DOD personnel aboard the air station effective at noon on Monday. Paris Island canceled all graduation activities this week, and preparations are underway to bus recruits to the Marine Corps Logistics Base in Albany, Georgia, according to a command release. Mandatory evacuation of Paris Island was in effect as of 1700 on Monday, according to the press release. So, recruits heading to Albany, Georgia. And we'll see what happens. So, keep our fingers crossed. Hopefully it brushes the coast, stays out to sea, and there's not a whole lot of damage. Interesting, driving around, Camp Lejeune last week, still the amount of damage that is there. The amount of roofs that you see that have not been repaired, and the amount of military construction going on is still significant. And the headline, this branch takes the cake as the U.S. military's fattest. Not that the Navy needs more bad news, but there you go. The overall rate of fat service members is also up in recent years, right? This is across the DOD, with the percentage of personnel weighing in at obese standards climbing to over 17%, according to the Health of DOD Force Survey. That number spiked to over a quarter of service members over the age of 35. So once you get to 35 years of age, you have a quarter of the people in the DOD obese. Shit. I mean, that's amazing. For the Navy, the overall number of obese personnel was a shocking 22%. The other branches reported the following frequency of obesity. The Army, the Air Force at 18%, the Army at 17%, and the Marine Corps at 8.3%. Now, why do they put the decimal point in there? They don't put a decimal point next to anybody else. So why is it the Marine Corps just 8%? And then they put this in just to make sure that the Marine Corps doesn't feel good about itself. And while the Marine Corps has the least overweight personnel, a characteristic partially attributable to the Corps having the youngest average age of personnel, the Marines reported the highest rate of knee and back injuries. That's because they're moving around, right? Anyway, so the study is obviously rippling through, right? Come on, man. How can you be in the military and be obese? And how does that number keep going up? Anyway, the United States conducting patrols in the Persian Gulf, putting Iran on notice. Okay, and then what? We've been there forever, right? Now the U.S. Navy is trying to put together a new coalition of nations to counter what it sees as a renewed maritime threat from Iran. So, kind of interesting stuff. The world essentially ignored Iran's blustering, from 3 weeks ago? The sanctions stay in place. Europe did not come to its aid. And we'll see what the next card that gets played. Now, to that end, I have an Iran expert that I need to, kind of the Iranian version of Grant Newsham. Grant makes a smart, explains things a lot. that go on in the Western Pacific. I think I found somebody, and I've got to bring her on the program, that will go ahead and do that for Iran. So that's kind of exciting. So we should probably have her on. I would have done it, but I've been traveling. All right. Top five stories in Early Bird, and then we're gonna hear Jim Mattis with Max commentary, which I love to do. Top five stories in Early Bird. One, more than 100 military construction projects could be put on hold to free up funds for the U.S.-Mexico border wall. Pentagon officials are preparing to fund another 175 miles of border wall construction using $3.6 billion in military construction funds that have been designated for 127 projects over the next year. That's in the news. Number two, Trump administration sanctions Iran's space agency. Why not? Number three, in new book, Mattis takes shots at the president, but not that one. Saying that he doesn't take shots at sitting presidents, but he will take shots at past presidents. Number four, first female Air Force airman earns a Ranger tab. And we talked about that yesterday. And then the story about how fat the Navy is the number five story in the Early Bird. All right, so we'll take about a two-minute break. When we come back, what we'll do is you'll hear Secretary Mattis's interview with Martha McCallum with my commentary that you'll enjoy. And then you'll hear him doing something with the Council of Foreign Relations, which is a little bit more in-depth. And I always love these guys, as you know, if you listen to the program, in long format. And I think it's important that they do that. And you know what I think Jack Keane's on Fox News all the time. And he's always, you know, he's always honest. He's always pretty direct. And I think the nation needs more of its general officers, the ones that are capable of that, and not all of them are, right? The ones that are capable of it. I think the nation needs their sage advice when matters of international affairs and military force are being discussed. And I don't think they should be shy about doing that. More of All Marine Radio coming up on Wednesday, the fourth day of September, in the year of our Lord 2020. So don't touch that dial.